we'll go ahead and proceed with our third presentation at this point, which will be made by Dr. Joe Outlaw, who is a professor and extension economist in the Department of Agricultural Economics at Texas A&M University. He also serves as the co-director of the Agriculture and Food Policy Center at Texas A&M, and in this role, he frequently interacts with members of Congress and key agricultural committee staff to provide feedback on the likely consequences of agricultural policy changes. He's received numerous awards in excellence for his agricultural policy education efforts to help U.S. farmers with farm program sign-up decisions. Dr. Outlaw is a native of Divine, Texas, and he received his B.S., M.S., and Ph.D. degrees at Texas A&M University. Joe, thank you very much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us today. We're very much looking forward to your comments, and so without further preamble, please go ahead.
All right. Well, thank you very much. I'm going to move right through this relatively fast. Hopefully, you've already heard that we have disclaimers at this point that we don't know everything about how the bill is going to be interpreted in the longer run, but we have made a lot of things available to you to kind of get you started. With regard to the commodity programs, these are the covered commodities that you hear. You heard both Art and Jody talking about. The commodity programs are essentially the same as what we had before, less upland cotton. This farm bill repeals the direct payments, countercyclical payment program, and acre. And obviously for the 2013 crop, since acre and CCP use marketing year prices, there's still a chance that there will be some payments made, depending on how the prices work out for that marketing year. But going forward, for the 2014 crop, producers are going to choose between agricultural risk coverage, what we call the ARC program, and price loss coverage, what the acronym is PLC. As it says here, there's a lot of discussion about whether ARC is a shallow loss program, more or less, and PLC is a deep loss program, but there's a lot more to it than that. But essentially, there's good choices to have as covered commodity producers, and each are going to have to make some decisions. Regardless, as Jody mentioned earlier, regardless of which program producers choose, the first payment they could receive if the one was eligible would be after September 30th of 2015. So we're looking at using marketing year prices, which means that any losses would be paid much after the fact. Producers also in this bill are going to have the opportunity to reallocate their base acres to crops that they have planted during the 2009 to 12 crop years. And I've got a lot of questions over that. So I've got a couple of examples to work through. One of the things that's interesting is upland cotton is no longer a covered commodity. Those base acres, if they just went away, then some farms would have a lot of acres that would basically have less value going forward. And so to make that not happen, Congress allowed them to have their base acres converted to generic acres, and I will discuss that as well. Finally, for those producers, the bill says very carefully that if for those producers who chose price loss coverage option, those producers would have the opportunity to update their payment yields to 90% of the 2008 to 2012 crop year averages. There is some discussion going on that USDA may allow everyone, regardless of their choice of farm program, to update those payment acres. So the choice for payment acres is basically leave them where they are now using the current CCP yields or update to 90% of the 2008 to 12 averages. And again, it's nice to have for producers to have choices. The covered commodities, as I mentioned earlier, are pretty much what we've had in the past, less upland cotton. In terms of base reallocation, that's one of the things I get most of my questions about, that this is a choice between leaving them the way they are and reallocating the existing base acres. So basically, one of the things that you have to think of is whatever the bases were on September 30th, 2013, those cotton bases at that point in time are they're renamed generic base, and just think of them as being set aside. With regard to the reallocation, how that works is it's the four-year average of planted acres to each crop from 2009 to 12. plus prevented planting divided by the four-year average of all covered commodities plus prevented planting. So one of the things that all this makes, the last time we had any kind of ability to update basis was in the 2002 Farm Bill, and this reallocation is different than that. One of the things that people need to make sure and understand right off the bat is the number of base acres on the farm will not change because of this. It's just because of the Farm Bill, this Farm Bill pays on base acres, not planted acres. They're allowing a reallocation so that a producer who had a basis of a crop that they're no longer producing could have a chance to reallocate those basis to crops they're producing now, which would give them more protection on what they're actually planting. This is a really nice thing. So a quick example that, as you see at the bottom, is put together by the House Agriculture Committee staff. And again, when you start allocating the reallocation is only on for covered commodities. So a quick example with corn, sorghum, soybeans, and wheat. On that farm, it was a 1,000-acre farm that had 1,000 acres in wheat base. And so the choice for the producer on this farm would be leave it all in wheat base or reallocate it among the crops that were planted over the last 4 years. And as you can see, corn had a 50% share and sorghum and soybeans had a 25% share, and it didn't plant any wheat. So a reallocation would be 500 acres of corn, 250 acres of each soybeans and sorghum. So that's really the choice, and producers are going to have to make that decision for the 2014 time period when sign-up begins. Looking at a little bit more complicated example, some producers will have non-covered commodities on the farm, and they've been planting them. An example here is alfalfa. The choice for the producer for this type of situation is maintain the 1,000 base acres of wheat or reallocate your acres based on those covered commodities that are planted. So the big change here is you eliminate the 200 acres of alfalfa, and when you divide, you're dividing by 800 rather than 1,000, and so it becomes 750 acres of corn, 125 each of sorghum and soybeans. So that producer would have that choice. The last example is including cotton. And basically, as you can see from the example, it had 500 acres of cotton base and 500 acres of wheat base initially. And what, like I said, as of September 30th, 2013, that 500 acres of cotton base has now become generic base and it's set aside. And then you do the reallocation of the acres among the crops that were planted during the 2009-12 time period. And you can see that essentially once you set aside the other 500, then you're reallocating the other 500 acres that was in wheat. It could be 375 corn, 62.5 for each sorghum and soybeans. Producers are going to have these choices, and again, do you have to do it? No, but it makes perfect sense to do this when your farm program benefits are tied to these base acres. You would like to have them on the crops that you're actually producing on. Now, with regard to cotton base becoming generic, this actually matters to, obviously, cotton producers, but it matters as they may plant other crops. As I said earlier, the cotton base was, on September 30th, 2013, renamed generic base. I have some examples of here of why this was done, but essentially, this base is generic, and on an annual basis, depending upon what the producer plants, that's how they allocate that generic base out. And I've got a couple of examples to run through to do that as well. My example is very straightforward and simple. It's a 100-acre farm. Base acres on it were 500 wheat, and it was 50 wheat and 50 cotton that is now generic. If in 2014 the producer plants 50 acres of wheat and 50 acres of sorghum, they have their original 50 acres of wheat base, but the generic base is allocated out based on the percentage of each of the covered commodities they planted. Well, in this case, they planted 50-50, so half of the generic goes to wheat and half of it goes to sorghum, and that's how this would be allocated out. So even though they planted 50-50 wheat and sorghum, they would actually end up with 75 acres of wheat base and 25 acres of grain sorghum base. Taking that same example and just say, what if the producer had planted all 100 acres to wheat? They had their original 50 acres of wheat base, and then because all 100% of the, they planted 100% to one covered commodity, then all 50 acres of generic was allocated to wheat. So the farmer has protection on all 100 acres of wheat that they have planted. The last example is what happens if that farmer chooses to plant all their ground to cotton. Well, obviously for the cotton, those generic acres are what we call idled for the year, meaning that when you plant cotton, generic bases are not, they're not in action, they're just basically sitting on the sidelines until you're not planting cotton. But when you do plant cotton, they're idled, and the farmer, or in this case, would have 100 acres planted of cotton, but they would still have protection on 50 acres of wheat base. One of the interesting questions we get is why is that so? And the answer is because this farm bill, much like the last two, are decoupled payments. And so you might have bases in one commodity, and that and with that comes government protection if things go wrong, and planted others. So this would be treating cotton just the same as other covered commodities. One of the quick reference prices are used in this farm bill. Basically, you could think of them as target prices, but these prices are now called reference prices, and they're used in the price loss coverage program, and they're also used in ARC, and I'll explain that. But they have been increased over what they were in the previous farm bills. With regard to the marketing loan rates, these marketing loan rates basically did not change over time, and I will have to make a quick note that with regard to other oilseeds on both the reference prices and the marketing loan rates, the other oilseeds, that should be dollars per hundredweight instead of bushels before people get too excited and think they're going to be rich. This overhead, that's flow chart of Title I producer choices for covered commodities, put this together to try to give you an idea of what the decisions are with regard to this farm program. The first one that's kind of on the left-hand side, it's a circle shaped kind of like a donut. In 2014, producers will have to make the base reallocation decision, and they'll have to choose between ARC and PLC for each FSA farm number they have, and on each farm they can choose. They must choose ARC or PLC for each covered commodity. Now, there's some nuances, and at the bottom you can see the fine print that says if the folks who make this decision on the farm can't agree, then they would be out of the program for 2014 crop, and then they would get PLC for 2015 and beyond. But let's assume that the choices are going to be made, and there's a choice between ARC and price loss coverage as well. Within ARC, there's a county ARC version and an individual ARC version. The big difference there is county ARC uses county yields and national average prices, where individual ARC uses information for the entire farm. So if you choose individual ARC, then that entire FSA farm number, that farm is in individual ARC for all commodities. I'll tell you a little bit more about that in a few minutes, but essentially, county ARC could be chosen on every commodity on a farm, or you could intersperse county ARC for one crop and choose PLC on another. But if you choose individual ARC, that entire farm is in individual ARC. When you look at the choice between choice for price loss coverage, producers will have the opportunity to update those payment yields, as I discussed earlier. And I have this line drawn, and on the right-hand side it talks about Title 11, which is the crop insurance area. One of the things that is really interesting in this farm bill is that these choices between base reallocation and choice between ARC and PLC have to be made in 2014, but If you've only if you've chosen price loss coverage, could you purchase SCO beginning in a 2015 crop? So at least for producer meetings that I've been doing, I've been trying to encourage people to take a life of the farm bill approach to making this decision between these two choices. They're both good. They can't really make a bad choice here. But if they did want to have access to supplemental coverage option, they were going to have to at least consider price loss coverage along the way. So one of the interesting points is who the farm bill is very clear and who's supposed to make these decisions. The base reallocation decision and the yield update decision, as specified in the bill, are the landowner. And throughout, in most tenant and landlord arrangements, the landlord has signed over a power of attorney, and there's a lot of discussion of whether they have to get new ones or that sort of thing. But essentially, as far as who makes this decision right now, it's pretty clear these two decisions are in the case of the landowner. The bill also is very clearly decides that the ARC PLC decision is made by the producers on the farm. And as it says here at the bottom of the overhead, producers basically those who share in risk. So for a share lease arrangement, since the tenant and the landowner are both sharing in the risk, you would think that would be a joint decision. For a cash lease, it's at least implied where all the risk is on the tenant. It's at least implied that there would be a decision would rest for the tenant. One of the things that we get asked a lot is, what happens if the farm changes hands and it, the farm bill reads as if that decision is going to stay with the farm over the life of the bill, regardless of if it changes hands between tenants. I put together just a quick example. This is the example of the price loss coverage with for corn with a preference price of $370, and the ability of supplemental coverage option to actually lay on top of that and sets on top of the individual crop insurance depicted here in yellow and goes up to 86%. So it does provide the opportunity to augment crop insurance, SCO does, at the same time PLC is providing a price protection from low and declining prices. Not going to go through this very much, but basically the calculations for price loss coverage are very similar to what we had for CCP. Calculated payment rate times payment yield times base acre size 0.85. If you look at county ARC, there would be a revenue benchmark established by the previous 5 years. Marketing your prices times county yields, dropping the high and the low. And so that's basically a three-year average, establishes a revenue benchmark, and then ARC would protect from 86% down to 76%. So there'd be basically a 14% deductible relative to the benchmark. The revenue guarantee would start at 86% and go down to 76%. And for areas around the country, depending upon where their crop insurance is purchased, there would be no, if they purchase high enough levels of crop insurance, there would be no break for other parts of the country that don't buy very high level of crop insurance coverage. There would be a portion not covered, and that's something that producers would need to keep in mind when they do make these decisions. The specifics on ARC, there are, again, as I said, there's ARC County and ARC Individual. I've kind of got some of the calculations here. There are the ability to use plugs to replace low yields, and the reference price replaces low prices in the benchmark establishment. One of the interesting parts, elements of ARC is it does allow for, on the county basis, to be, you can break out say dry land and irrigated sorghum could be broken out, and you could do the county ARC for each separately, which is a nice feature. With regard to ARC Individual, this plan is a bit more complicated. There's a lot less details available at this point. One of the things that's important to realize is that ARC individual is going to pay on base acres times 0.65 relative to ARC County, which pays on 85% of base acres. One of the reasons why this is more complicated is because on an individual basis, it's going to look at what has the revenue streams that have been generated on the farm in the past to establish a benchmark for the farm, and then it's going to pay on base acres, depending on how this revenue stream goes forward. It's a lot like the SURE program that it does calculates the revenues for the entire farm. That's the reason why if you choose it for one crop on the farm, you've chosen it for all. With regard to payment limits, the bill makes payment limits a combined limit for ARC, PLC, LDPs, and margin loan gains at $125 per person using direct attribution, with the husband and wife eligible for $250,000. Does maintain separate limits for peanuts at $125. Doesn't place a limit on margin loan forfeitures if they were to occur. Combines the AGI limits that we had three in the past, and now we have one, $900,000 per three-year average adjusted gross income limit that would affect commodity program and conservation program benefits. If you hit that $900,000 in any year, then you would be ineligible for benefits in that year. The bill also provides directs the secretary to conduct rulemaking to define contribution of significant active personal management and determine if that needs to be changed as a condition for eligibility for payments. And this is something where a number of members in Congress were unhappy with persons from around the country who don't live near the farm claiming management gaining them the ability to have payment limits, to have a limit. So one of the things it does do, the bill also says that if whatever the secretary does, that for entities that are made up of solely family members, then they would not be subject to whatever rules the secretary does come up with. That was a really quick run through of the major decisions on Title I. I'd left off, as you probably acknowledged, that I didn't talk about the dairy provisions of Title I because they've already had a webinar on that recently. But obviously, there's a lot still that has to be worked out, but producers do have some really fine choices, and they are encouraged to look into these choices. And, you know, apparently we're going to have quite some time before sign-up starts, and because of that, they'll have a lot of time to kind of evaluate where they need to go with this. So thank you all very much for your time, and I look forward to your questions.
Joe, thank you very much for your many thoughts on the changes to the commodity programs under the new Farm Bill. We have a number of questions that have come in here, and we'll try to get through as many of those as we can. The first one asks if you know or not whether or not the state institutions or institutions of higher learning will be eligible for the PLC or ARC or all or both. Or some combination thereof.
Well, in the past, most government and state institutions are basically in that realm. Most of them have been ineligible for benefits for those commodity programs. So I would assume that those rules are going to be very similar.
Okay, great. Next question is. Do you know with the base reallocation how prevented planted acres will be determined? Will a producer get credit for all the acres reported to FSA or get credit for only a historical average planting of the crop, like under crop insurance to earn a payment? And then what about buy-up coverage under that?
With regard to reallocation, the bill very clearly says that if it was considered to have been planted, then it's going to count towards being able to reallocate that to that in that direction. So using that example, I guess really if you were to go through and add your own numbers up of what you've planted or considered planted each of these years, the last 4 years, then you'd be able to include those acres, and so you would be able to have a reallocated base for cropland that you actually hadn't even gotten a chance to produce if you had a loss each, if you had been prevented planting each year. So that it's going to just allow you to redirect those acres to those acres that had been prevented planting on.
Okay, it's clearly going to be somewhat complex as we move forward, so thank you for that explanation.